Would you join me in the prayer for illumination? Please bow your heads. Holy Spirit, descend upon us now. Open our hearts that we may feel. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our ears that we may hear. Open our wills that we may follow in faith. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Mark, first chapter, verses 14 to 20. Those who are able, would you rise in honoring our scripture? Now, wherever John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Jim. We are still in our series looking at Jonah. And last week we heard about Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish. And this week we finally journey with Jonah to Nineveh, home of the Assyrian Empire, enemy of Israel. Jonah chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, have you ever royally flopped, dropped the ball, totally bombed, fell flat on your face? We were approaching the summer where when Becca and I were going to be married, and luckily I didn't flop when I asked her to marry me. She did say yes on that one. But I was going to do my in-person interview at a hospital in Michigan to be a summer chaplain intern, and I was staying with Becca's family the night before this very early morning interview. And there was a major college football game on that night, Oklahoma versus Boise State, and I really wanted to watch the game. In fact, because I have a great dislike for the Oklahoma Sooners, since I'm a Longhorn, what I told people, I was praying for the Oklahoma Sooners to feel like they had won the game and then have their hearts ripped out in agonizing defeat right at the end. I wasn't a pastor yet, so I could still pray those things. And the game went back and forth. It was very exciting. It even went to overtime. And sure enough, the Sooners thought they'd won. But then a trick play meant they lost at the very last second. My prayer was answered. I could have prayed for world peace, but I got the Sooners a loss instead. But that overtime game left me with very little sleep before I went to this early morning interview. And so as I sat there listening to the quiet monotone of the staff chaplains at this hospital in Michigan, it was all I could do to stay awake. It was not exactly a very impressive interview. I royally flopped, totally bombed. They did not offer me an intern position at that hospital. Have you ever royally flopped, totally bombed, fell flat on your face, dropped the ball? Well, Jonah certainly is no stranger to that. You know, he didn't even accidentally drop the ball. He ran away from it. He didn't miss God's direction for his life. He got the message and tried to do the opposite. And yet, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Think about that. Jonah is the king of the royal flop, the poster child for dropping the ball, and yet the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So no matter what we have done or failed to do, the word of the Lord can come to us like Jonah again. God can still use us. Flawed, imperfect, dropping the ball left and right, used by God nonetheless. And one thing I love about how God uses us is that it's usually not that complicated. I mean, Jonah was given pretty simple instructions. Go where God sends you, say what God tells you. That's it. And yeah, there was a bit of a journey. And yeah, he was likely to be ignored, and he could have faced some consequences from the proud citizens of Nineveh, but it wasn't exactly a confusing request. Go where I send you, say what I tell you. And the outcome wasn't even in Jonah's hands. Of course, we'll hear next week that Jonah was not exactly happy about not having the outcome in his hands. Now, I have a friend who is a pitcher for the Chicago White Sox, and a reporter called me last year to ask me about my friend's faith. I told the reporter that my friend's faith is impressive simply because he's willing to own it. He'll claim the label Christian, even in a clubhouse where that's not necessarily seen as a valuable thing. He's not judgmental, but he's not hiding who he is and what he believes either. And that willingness to be identified as a Christian is a powerful witness. But many of us aren't even willing to do that everywhere we go. Are there places or people with whom you're unwilling to have that label of Christian? Going public, claiming your faith, is one simple way that God can use us. Do your neighbors know who you believe in? Do your running or biking friends know? Do your coworkers or fellow students know? If they don't, and if they asked you, would you say yes, I'm a Christian, or yes, I believe in Jesus? Claiming your faith is one simple way God can use us. But sometimes, like Jonah, God tells us something to say. Now, I have what I call the three strikes rule on this one. If the Holy Spirit, I think, is telling me to say something and it seems out of the blue or off the wall, a little strange, I can ignore it the first time. I can question it the second time, but if it comes a third time, by golly, I've got to do it. I have no biblical basis for the three strikes rule, but I haven't been struck by lightning yet, so hopefully the Spirit is okay with it. Now, one time I was at a viewing after a tragic death in the community, and it was an hour-long wait to get into just to get into the funeral home. And as I approached the casket for this viewing, I got that nudge from the Spirit to say something very specific to one specific father who was seated. His daughter was best friends with the deceased. And so, as I got the nudge by the Spirit to tell him, the specific thing was, this is a chance to be the spiritual leader in your household. Lead your family in prayer tonight. I ignored it the first time. Questioned it the second time. But finally, as I was trying to get out before the third time could happen, I got that third nudge. So I turned around, snuck back over to where he was sitting, and told him. I have no idea what came of that, but it was something God wanted me to say. Does God want you to say something to someone? Or maybe, like Jonah, God wants to send you somewhere. I know a family who were in the midst of moving. They were the husband had gotten a new job in a new city, and they're very sad to leave their friends, to leave where their kids were doing well, to leave the church they were involved with, but they were following the job. And the husband went out first as the family tried to get the house ready to sell, but on the second day of his new job in his new city, a company from his old city called and said, we know you just started this job, but we just had a new position open where you used to live, and you'd be perfect for it. It's yours if you want it. And it was a little awkward, but he actually quit that new job, came back to where they were just about to move from, luckily hadn't sold the house yet, and took the new job. And as I talked to them, the reason for this wasn't more money, it was actually less money. It wasn't that it was some amazing career move. The other one would have been a better career move. They came back because they sensed God wanted them in this town, not in the new city. That God wanted them in this church. With these relationships, they were sent to a particular place. Does God want to send you somewhere or have you stay somewhere? Even if you've royally flopped, totally bombed, dropped the ball or fell flat on your face, it doesn't matter. The word of the Lord can come to you like Jonah another time. And it's usually not that complicated. Go where God sends you. Say what God tells you. Claim your faith to others. Now, did you notice when Jonah finally preached to the people of Nineveh, did you notice what they believed? Did they believe Jonah's amazing story about being rescued by this fish? Nope. He never told them about that. They never heard it. Did they see Jonah and sense this supernatural connection, this holy being with the ability to call down fire on their city? No. Verse 7, the people of Nineveh believed God. They didn't believe in Jonah. They believed in God. And so our job, like Jonah, is not to be supernatural as we do these things God tells us. Our job is to be natural. Because people aren't supposed to believe in us, they're supposed to believe in God. Very simple. Now, since this is Father's Day, let's apply this to the dads specifically. One of the main ways that God wants to use us, dads, is in our families. There was a sociology study a while back that looked at different families and how the mom and the dad's faith played out for the kids over time and their church involvement. And so imagine a family where the mom, does all the outward signs of faith. She goes to church all the time, reads the Bible, prays all the time, takes the kids with her, and the dad, goes and plays golf. Sounds good, right? 33% of those kids will go on to be connected with the church in some way, shape, or form. Now let's flip the script. The dad has all of the outward signs of faith. Reads the Bible all the time, prays, takes the kids to church, goes to church all the time. The mom goes and gets a pedicure. That sounds even better, right? 66% of those kids go on to be connected with the church in some way, shape, or form. Now, if you add in both parents, the number does go up. So moms, you've still got some impact here. But the main point, they have no idea why, and they've done this with multiple studies, is the faith of the father has about twice the impact on the faith of the children as the faith of the mother. So dads, this is our challenge and our opportunity. We are uniquely positioned to impact the faith of our children. We are uniquely tasked with demonstrating our own faith in our family. So will you take up the challenge? The gauntlet's on the table. Will you pick it up? Because if we show our faith in our family, God will use that. No guarantees on the end result. Like Jonah, we are not in charge of the end result. The end result is God's job. Our job is to show our faith in our family. What would that look like this week? Is that leading a prayer time with your family that's not tied to a meal? Is that reading your Bible and others can see it? Is that telling your kids something about a devotional reading you've done? What would that look like? God wants to use you in your family, and it's not a tremendous task. It's very simple. Sisters and brothers, God wants to use all of us. Even if we, like Jonah, have fallen flat on our faces and dropped the ball before, like Jonah, we can go where God sends us. We can say what God tells us. We can claim our faith before others. We can show our faith in our family. These are not complicated things. That doesn't mean they're easy, but they're not complicated. The word of the Lord is coming to you as it did to Jonah another time. What will you do when you hear it? Amen.